Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guests today are John Hurley, a professor of systems and technology, and Lieutenant Colonel C.J. Horn of the U.S. Army, a faculty member at the iCollege at the National Defense University. Gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the time to join me.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
So it's been a while since I've had someone or faculty members from the National Defense University on. So things have changed so much probably since, the Dean, Mary McCulley, was on probably in the 2009-2010 timeframe. So let's do some background just to get us started. The iCollege at NDU, discuss what it is, what its mission is. Let me start with John Hurley.
The mission is primarily to prepare military and civilian leaders to optimize IT management and secure information dominance in cyberspace.
Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Just those few things. Now, you guys have been around for a number of years, but the iCollege itself, that's been around for what, about 15 or 20 years? CJ?
We're celebrating our 25th anniversary this year. So we started back in 1988 over at the Navy Yard and moved to Fort McNair in 1992. And since then, we've had a long, glorious tenure.
So let's start with some of the basic students at the NDU. They're all defense, or is it a mix of defense and civilian agencies?
We've got a good mix of those primarily from the defense sector, but we'll have some from private industry as well as regular civilians from the federal agencies as well.
And do you need to be a government? You don't need to be a government employee. So how do you get in? Do you need to be a contractor who gets recommended to go? How does the process work? Because I think the question for a lot of people is, okay, this sounds great, but how do I do it?
There are some specific entry level requirements for civilians. I think you typically at the federal agencies have to be, I think, about a 13 or above. And for private industry, for contractors, you're generally recommended. There's a recommendation. Typically, we have some MOUs with different private industry sector members, and they're able to be aboard. And we also have members from the federal military that are typically, 04 and above?
CJ.
Yes. For DOD and military and civilian, it's totally free. And for the military, you have to be a major or higher to be a student. The nice thing, what I just want to say is one of the nice things about the classes there is you really do have a pretty good mix of it. I'd say on average about 50 to 60% of our classes are composed of DOD, and out of that, about half are military and half are civilian, and the rest come from across the federal government. So we have working arrangements with other organizations in the federal government, and they take our classes. So when they come in and take our courses, it's one of those where they really are getting that full, broad cross-cutting of government in our courses.
And I imagine that part of the benefits of this is having the military perspective, the civilian perspective, and then the federal agency civilian perspective all in one class kind of brings that discussion points, the challenges they face, that they both get to realize, hey, your challenges are like my challenges, but at the same time, your challenges sometimes are much different than mine. CJ.
Right. That is exactly what happens is they get to share their experiences and their perspectives. They get to offer up lessons that they have learned from so that everyone can share and get exposed to it. It's really a central part of our student-centered learning process. So having that kind of diversity within the classroom is a wonderful thing. It's by far the best graduate level experiences that I've seen.
Now, just to be clear, now, this is free for DOD and some federal agencies or all federal agencies, and do contractors pay, or is it free for everyone and it's run by a fund of sorts?
For DOD, military, and civilians, it is free as long as they meet the prerequisites for admittance into the college. So in other words, they have to have their bachelor's degree, they have to meet the minimum civilian or military rank so they can participate that way with the right GPA. For those that are outside, there is a, and for civilian agencies and contractor employees, there is a fee. I don't have that part there, but if they contact the iCollege, they can give them what the current rate is associated, whatever the additional requirements are.
And we can link to that on federalnewsradio.com, right. So make it easy on people as well. And then what's the end result? It's more than just, hey, I took a class, I put on my resume. Is there certificates? Is there, you can get a master's, a doctorate degree? Give me a sense, CJ.
The iCollege got approved about 2 years ago to offer a master's of science degree in government information leadership. So that's the penultimate. That's a 39 credit hour curriculum there, which is 13 courses. We also offer 12 different certificates associated with the various programs, and that can be also added into the will count towards as part of the degree if they decide to go for the master's degree. from information assurance to enterprise architecture to there's a CFO certificate, CIO certificate. We have 12 of them. So there's a lot of different things that come into that.
But if John. I may add, but there is an additional consideration. There are some that are actually just simply coming to improve their career status, to look at different areas, and just simply from an information standpoint. So there are some that come that not necessarily are coming for certificates or master's programs, but they're just simply coming to take class for learning experience.
And some of it is just the, let me see what's the latest on
yes.
enterprise architecture, cloud computing, or security, whatever it is, so as part of their job, their continuous learning credits.
Yes.
I think that's a big deal on both sides of civilian and DOD.
Absolutely. And you have some who are actually looking for career changes, and they're looking at their respective areas that are really called hot areas in the IT area. And we give them a chance to kind of get that exposure firsthand.
Since the show is Ask the CIO, and though neither of you are traditionally CIOs, you guys do have a CIO certificate program at the National Defense University. Let's talk about what that program entails. I see a lot of times when people become CIOs, you see at the bottom of their resume, for instance, a certificate from, for instance, NDU. Mm-hmm. So let me start with John. Tell me about the CIO certificate program.
Okay, our certificate program consists of three core areas, particularly in terms of policy, performance assessment, information security, and information management. And there are five additional courses called electives, among them being acquisition, architecture and infrastructure, capital planning and investment, e-government and e-business, leadership, process improvement, process management, project management, strategic planning, technology assessment, and last but not least, cybersecurity.
And now there's two pieces of this. There's a certificate program, and is there a master's too?
Yes, there's a master's program. There are five additional courses that consist of the master's program.
And the master's program, is that connected back to what CJ was talking about? You guys got credited to the master's of science. CJ.
The master's of science degree has five concentration areas. So, and the CIO is one of those concentration areas. So what John was talking about is you could take the courses for the CIO certificate, and most of those people will then still continue on the CIO track because it matches up, and they'll take five additional courses, which have been predefined, which allow for a broadening experience while still tracking along the CIO development. So, and we tried very hard to match up, and we continually make the changes associated with the federal CIO 12 competencies. As those change, we also evolve our curriculum to make sure that they match up with that. So the intent is by the time they finish with their master's degree, that they would have a sufficient exposure or at least an introduction into all those major competency areas.
Don't get ahead of me too far yet. We're going to come back and talk about how you guys come up with your courses. But before we do that, now the other master's degrees beyond CIO, are they all related? For instance, could you get one in project management with a concentration in CIO? How does that work, John?
Yeah, one of the beauties that we find in the courses is that there's a great deal of overlap in terms of the courses and how they can actually contribute to the actual certificates in the master's programs. So an ability to take a course in one respective area may very well also count toward another respective area as well. So we think that's actually one of the major advantages that we offer at the iCollege.
Let me talk a little bit about you guys real quick. We wanted to take a break in just a second, but what's your background? Let me start with John. Your background, how'd you get to the iCollege?
I actually have a very diverse background, experience in academia, private industry, and also having, this is my first real government experience, but I've worked as a contractor on several different occasions.
Much different on the other side of the fence, huh?
Oh, yes. Quite.
Mm-hmm. No, when you worked in some contracting, did you work on projects or were you kind of an executive level where you kind of oversaw teams? Just give me a little more background.
Oh, sure. No, absolutely. It was more from a project standpoint. So they were primarily R&D experiences, primarily places like Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, but looking primarily at different technical issues and how to assist in addressing some of the issues and some of the requirements as it relate to the Air Force.
And now, CJ, your background, you're a lieutenant colonel in the Army still.
Yes.
Give me a little bit of background.
I have a little over 20 years in the Army. My undergraduate was at the United States Military Academy, where I majored in history. And my master's and PhD is through The Ohio State University, which is also in the history field. Numerous deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan and to what I call deployments to the Pentagon, too, because that's its own little unique world sometimes. But I came to the iCollege as an opportunity because I really enjoy teaching. A position opened up. They were looking for a strategist, and that's what I do, to come in and help do some policy and strategy development courses.
How's being a PhD in history fall into being a strategist? Is that if you don't know what happened, you don't know how to go forward? Is that type of concept?
That's part of it. I think my experience has been doing policy and strategy development for basically the past 12 years or so. So when we talk about policy and strategy development within the information domain, it's not really a lot of a difference in terms of the basic processes. You know, there's differences in terms of some of the technology, but the leadership and the process by which you do this stuff doesn't really change.
Now, do you have a technical background, or are you mostly a policy guy, as you said?
I'm probably the most analog person you will find living in a digital world.
Excellent. And that's why we have this show called Ask the CIO. Thank you. Thank you for bringing John with you. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today are John Hurley, a professor of systems and technology, and Lieutenant Colonel C.J. Horn of the U.S. Army, a faculty member at the iCollege at the National Defense University.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio 1500.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guests today are John Hurley, a professor of systems and technology, and Lieutenant Colonel C.J. Horn of the U.S. Army, a faculty member. Both work at the National Defense University's iCollege. Now, before break, we're just talking about how iCollege is set up, how it works, the different programs it has, including the CIO certificate program that both is a certificate and a master's degree. And we talked about a little bit about your backgrounds. And CJ, we made a little fun of you a little bit being an analog guy in a digital world. But in many ways, being a policy guy, a strategy guy, is actually becoming more important for CIOs than knowing the bits and the bytes pieces. You're seeing that just in your classes, aren't you, CJ?
Yes, we are. In fact, the base course that we teach, the CIO 2.0, is really talking about the evolution from being a CIO who's purely about technology to one who has to be more of an integrator and a communicator. Developing policy and strategy and communicating that with the rest of the enterprise is a critical component of being an effective CIO today.
How ready are your students to be that person? Do they come in with just great technical skills but don't understand the strategy side? Or do they come in with great strategy but aren't necessarily effective communicators?
There's a wide range of experiences and skill sets that come into our courses. You know, we'll have some people who are very experienced in one or the other, or actually in both. And again, as John was saying earlier, they're coming in just to keep current about what's going on in terms of the sector. But we have a good portion of our students, I think, are coming in looking to have that broadening experience. You know, they've been experts in their field, but now it's time for them, in order to be beyond just manager, but to be a leader in terms of the field, is that they got to start having those other skill sets and other perspectives. And that's one of the things that we do at the college.
John, let me turn to you for a second. Sure. That's one of the hardest things to teach is leadership, mm-hmm. which so many times you have the CIO, at least in previous years, and we're talking about, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, the CIO was happened to be the best technical person, but it didn't mean they were the best CIO, the best leader. How do you guys deal with that leadership issue?
One of the biggest challenges is really kind of looking how this thing really started from the beginning. Typically, CIOs started out really as being pretty much the geeks, the problem solvers, really the people who were trying to deal with the technical issues. More or less just really trying to keep systems working. As the requirements, as the demands have evolved, one of the biggest challenges for CIOs was also because of that focus, they were typically excluded from the CXO conversation. So they were never really kind of appreciated and kind of dealt with in the same way as other C-level executives. And one of the things that we've emphasized is that it's incredibly important for them to understand you've got to first focus on the things that are enterprise-wide, focus on the mission, focus on the actual business priorities of the organizations. But remember that the technology is only an enabler. One of the major challenges that we've had is that many times the technology has been perceived to be the actual outcome. That becomes very challenging because technology changes generally 18 to 24 months. So once you've started focusing on one technology, you kind of move. As it changes, you end up having to kind of start that thing all over again. It's very important for us to really kind of stress the fact that typically our students that come in really come up with diverse backgrounds. We have some who haven't been in school for quite some time. We have some who are very, very technically elite. And one of the things that we find is very important is that that mix becomes very valuable for all of the students, because those who aren't technical get a chance to get a better understanding about the decisions that they have to make on technology. Those who typically are less technical will really ask very good fundamental questions that the technologists really don't pay a lot of attention to. So we get a really good balance that helps both sides.
CJ.
When we talk about how do we teach some of this stuff, we focus on experiential learning. Besides the classroom dialogue, we'll bring in like senior leaders from across the federal government. For example, in our upcoming course that we're getting ready to teach, you know, we have Melissa Hathaway coming, we have Steve Cooper coming, and we also have Bernie Mazur, who's going to be speaking to them and sharing their experiences and insights from their long, distinguished careers. And we also do other things, too. We try to take them out to events. Local events are going on here and in various places to understand how good organizations actually use their information technology to enable their mission. And then finally, we also do a lot of case studies, too. We believe in learning from others' people's successes and failures in order to try to avoid making those same mistakes in the future.
The burning question's got to be healthcare.gov. Do you work that into your curriculum as a case study? I mean, let's get away from the politics. It is an IT failure. And if you look at FBI virtual case file, DOD dimers, DHS financial management transitions, that's all it adds to the list. Is that the type of things you look at as what not to do in some ways, or what failed and why it failed? CJ?
Yes, we will take those into consideration. One of the things that we try to do is stay current about all the events. Now, something like healthcare.gov, there's not enough information yet for us to really have a deep dive into that. But we will definitely have conversations on that, because we'll bring it up, or our students will bring it up, and we'll discuss it. You know, more established cases where the information is available so that we can fully delve into it, we like to do. So something that's current like this will definitely be discussed. But until we have all the facts, it's really hard to assess what were major learning points there, because it's still an unfolding of activity.
Sure, and this is something maybe a year or two from now you may be able to say yes. That's one of those case studies. But in many ways, when we've covered it at Federal News Radio, it's always been about, okay, how can agencies learn from this, move on from it, not make the same mistake twice? And I think from an academic perspective, I think you guys take probably the same perspective. Mm-hmm. John, I want to go back to something you said. You talked about CIOs who maybe always didn't have a seat at the table, the boardroom. You know, they talk about from the back room to the boardroom. That seems to have changed over the last 3, 5, 7, 8 years. Has it changed from what you're seeing, the students who are coming in who want to be CIOs, who are CIOs maybe at a bureau level and want to be a department level CIO? Are they having a different perspective in terms of the influence that they have?
Well, we're finding that they're getting a better seat at the table, but I think CJ's point cannot be understated. It is incredibly important for us, because many of them that are coming in really looking at trying to elevate themselves to that next level. And they really quite candidly don't have really a full appreciation for all that goes in. So it really is very important from their standpoint to really hear from people who've made those transitions and have made those transitions successfully. So having some of the CIOs who are around the country, particularly in the federal agencies, who have established some sense of success in their roles and responsibilities, having them to come in really makes a very, very big difference. But many of the students that come to us really don't have a very good understanding about what it is required and what it takes to get to that level. But they are just interested in looking at it because they're either naturally in the progression stage, or is really just an opportunity that they really see is of value to them.
And the CIOs that CJ mentioned that they're coming in, Steve Cooper, former CIO at DHS, former CIO at FAA, Melissa Hathaway, former, if you will, cyber czar at the White House, mm-hmm. and obviously Bernie Mazur, the Interior Department CIO, all of them bring a different perspective, and especially someone like Steve Cooper, who's had to start DHS. I mean, I remember talking to him back in 2003, 2004 and the challenges he had. One of the things that when you talk about courses, how are they taught? In person? Are they taught online? Probably a combination, I would imagine. CJ?
We offer two basic ways for courses. The first one is our what we call e-resident. An e-resident course is a little over 5 weeks long. The first week is online. Then we do a full week of in-residence at the National Defense University. And then there's basically 3 more weeks after that where we do additional online learning. The other way we also do it is what we call distributed learning, or sometimes people call it distance learning. And that's a 12-week course that's done entirely online. We do have one other thing, which we also call the taproot, or of all our courses, and that's the Advanced Management Program. And that's an intensive 14-week student-centered program which emphasizes leadership skills and abilities for CIOs. The students that usually take are the ones that are rising into that executive leadership positions. By the time they're done with the 14 weeks, they'll have taken 8 courses, they earned one of the certificates, and then they're well on their way to completing their master's degree if they so desire.
And that 14-week program, is it in residence, or again the same combination of online and in person?
It's 14 weeks in residence at NDU.
Because one of the things I think there's always a plus to the distance learning, the online learning, but a lot of people love to be in the classroom and have that conversation. Do you guys teach both online and in person?
One of the things that to me I think is incredibly important is that we get a chance to get a good mix of folks kind of looking at the experiences. And one of the things that becomes very clear, as we alluded to before, we get a very big variety in terms of the people who come in with a lot of diverse experiences. So one of the things that becomes very important is that we understand that typically as we've started to evolve more toward looking at CIOs, toward policy and compliance, we surely want to make sure that there is not an exclusion of the role and the impact that technology has. We can't see ourselves as progressing to kind of meet the respective needs that we have for our organizations, for the nation as a whole, without incorporating the technologies.
But the people aspect was, you know, bringing people together, or mm-hmm. distance learning. I'm sure the technology obviously has gotten a lot better. How do you ensure that there is that back and forth, that the tech people are learning from the policy people and vice versa?
Well, what we try to do is we have a pretty diverse experience. Within our environments, we actually, in some of the classes, make sure that they have some of the hands-on technical experience. From my experience in terms of heading distributed computing at Boeing, one of the things that to me was very important was making sure that the students had a hands-on. And that's something that is very important, because even if they aren't doing that on their respective jobs, they're making decisions about maybe financing or supporting efforts within their organizations. And they have to have an understanding about how they should make those decisions and how they should support them.
All right, very good. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump into looking at the iCollege and how you guys keep your courses up to date. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guests today are John Hurley, a professor of systems and technology, and Lieutenant Colonel C.J. Horn of the U.S. Army, a faculty member. Both are with the iCollege at the National Defense University.
So, guess what I just heard?
You mean about the Roth TSP?
Okay, yeah. Well, also,
that bid protest on the DoD contract.
Right, but did you know
who the Senate confirmed for the administrator's job?
Well, what about
OMB's digital strategy?
Jeez, how do you know everything that's going on in the federal government?
I know, because I signed up for Federal News Radio's email alerts.
Be in the know and know it first with Federal News Radio's email alerts. Sign up today at federalnewsradio.com. Search email alerts.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guests today are John Hurley, a professor of systems and technology, and Lieutenant Colonel C.J. Horn of the U.S. Army, a faculty member. Both are with the iCollege at the National Defense University. Now, gentlemen, before break, we're talking about the classes a little bit. We're talking about how they're made up and how can you take them online versus in person. One of the things about teaching technology, and I think, John, you alluded to it earlier today, was the change and how quickly things change. And today it's information assurance, tomorrow it's cybersecurity, the next day it's something different that we don't even know what we call it yet. And especially when you think about cloud and mobile and big data, the big three right now in the around the buzz of the federal community. So give me a sense, how do you guys keep your courses up to date? Let me start with CJ.
There's two distinct processes I think we do. One is the boring bureaucratic process where once a year we'll sit down and we will review the course, what we've done. We'll take student reflections on the course. We'll take our own personal reflections on what we've done. And we'll go through this elaborate process of deciding, you know, what do we want to keep? What do we want to change? Or maybe different ways of teaching some of that stuff too. I shouldn't say it's boring, but it's not as exciting as the other aspect of when we teach a course and something comes up. Like, for example, last year when FITARA came out, or the draft legislation that was being proposed, we dropped one of the questions in the course and we put this question in for a lesson to have them go ahead and analyze what FITARA would mean for their organization. And so we try to do those things dynamically throughout the year to take advantage of the current events and make sure that we keep the course fresh.
Now, John, from your perspective, as systems and engineering, systems and technology is a lot harder to teach in some ways than maybe the policy side, mm-hmm. only because things change and there's maybe more complexity. Talk about your role in terms of how you guys keep the courses up to date.
Well, one of the things that to us is very important is that we, again, as I alluded to before during the break, one of the biggest advantages we have is, of course, being in Washington, D.C., everything happens and happens so rapidly. One of the things that we've also done is, as CJ alluded to earlier, we spend a lot of time making sure that we talk with senior leaders across the respective industry, the sectors that we engage. And that becomes very important for us because our classes have to meet the demands of our students. We simply are here for them. The other thing that's very important is that we've looked very close at the CIO Council. Its present restructuring and how it's changed the focus of how it is of the respective demands is really very important for us. And we have to make sure that our students are up to date in dealing with those things as the council and the other federal agencies find them being important.
CJ mentioned earlier about having different speakers come in. Mm-hmm. Do you guys meet, for instance, with Steve Van Roekel, the federal CIO, or Terry Takei, the DOD CIO, to kind of pick their brains a little bit and talk about where are you heading with your agenda and say, how can we make sure our classes meet your agenda needs? John?
Absolutely. Mr. Takei has been, and probably should be emphasized as being one of our strongest supporters. And it's very important to make sure that we give her that credit. The other thing that happens, we've actually had the benefit of, on an annual basis for the last couple of years, we've actually supported and sponsored the CIO Council meeting. And that becomes incredibly important because we get a chance to find out firsthand what the issues are, what some of the changes are being made. And one of the things that we found is that the CIOs have been incredibly supportive of us and have volunteered to come over, but they keep us kind of up to date in terms of what's relevant and where things are heading. And that allows us to really keep the students pretty current and make sure that they're studying and being focused on the things that are important for them and their agencies.
CJ.
One other thing I want to emphasize, too, is that we take the feedback from our students very seriously. At the end of every course, we have them take a survey. We ask for them what worked and what didn't work. What, you know, where should we go with the course? Did we cover stuff that they would expected to have covered or not? You know, what should be taken out? What should be put in? And the like. So we take that very seriously. And then a lot of our students also maintain contact with us even after they finished our courses. I mean, I have a personal distribution list with all my students and stuff, and they constantly are giving us feedback in terms of what's current in terms of their operating environment and also where we need to go to improve our courses and maybe new courses that we might need to develop based off the emerging trends that they are seeing.
John, go ahead real
quick. Yeah, one other piece I want to add that we haven't talked about that's extremely important. Typically, many of the students that we get are typically focused on things with respect to their respective agencies. One of the things that's become incredibly important for us is that our students are also fairly international in their scope as well. So we'll have students from all over the world. That becomes very important in making sure that we don't have simply a U.S.-centric approach. And we get a chance to see what's happening in other organizations. We get a chance to see how they are focusing and how they're operating and see what their challenges are. A lot of the challenges that we're seeing, not only in the government sector and private industry, we're finding them also taking place on the international stage as well.
All right, very nice. Probably, we could probably talk a little bit longer, but unfortunately we are out of time. You've been listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guests today were John Hurley, a professor of systems and technology, and Lieutenant Colonel C.J. Horn of the U.S. Army, a faculty member, both of the iCollege at the National Defense University. John, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you very much, Jason.
And CJ, thank you as well.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED. Your source for federal news now.